About 200 or 300 people. And it's out of secret, but when I went there, first of all, about 9 or 10 years ago, I just really felt that this chapel, like many other Methodist ones, was in danger of the community just fading away and the church being sold off. Anyway, I met this lady, Esther. She's a fairly ordinary looking lady. And I started talking to her afterwards, and it was clear that she was going to have none of that. She said to me, you know, I might have arranged for the building to let out to the Brownies or whoever, but where's the God in that? So what does she do? She sets up a lunch club once a month at 1 o'clock on a Sunday, and they invite people in. And as she's organising the catering, she gets people to sort of phone her up and let her know how they're doing the day before. And they have an average attendance of 40, total membership of 100. And each time when they're there, she then updates people as how the people are who are not there. And she openly prays for them aloud to all the people who are there. And, you know, it's the lunch club members and those in the village community know that they can phone up Esther and one or two others at any time. And she'll say to me, I get calls at 2 o'clock in the morning where a lady is sitting up with her ill husband. And I mainly listen, to be honest with you, she said. And then I try and find a few words of wisdom. The person often says, I hope you didn't mind. I said, not at all, but don't phone me at 8 in the morning. And it's not just me. We're known as a healing church. We don't lay hands on people, but we do listen, and there's nothing we wouldn't do. We also organise craft days. And while we're making things, we just talk about God. What an amazing lady. What an amazing situation. And do you know what? The church is getting better, building-wise. Last week, Helen was looking at the preceding chapter in Galatians. And in verses 13 and 14, the word was, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command, to love your neighbour as yourselves. Now that lovely story we had about Elisha and Naaman is actually more like love your enemy, because at that time they were knocking 6 bells out of each other, and one of the things they would go and do is you'd cart people off to be your slaves. And this young Israeli girl then tells her mistress that Naaman should go and see Elisha, and the king of Israel is fearing a trap, isn't he? But Elijah just currently says, just send him to me. And his whole approach is so low-key. He sends out a messenger to speak to the guy at the door and says, go and go off and wash yourself, you know what I mean? Go and bathe in the River Jordan. And when Naaman asks, will you accept a token of gratitude? Elijah's reply, as the Lord lives, whom I will serve, I will accept nothing. You see, Elisha knew where his gift came from. He knew where the power came from. It wasn't from him. It was from God. You know, whilst Galatians 5 tells us of what we can expect when the Holy Spirit is in control, the first half of Galatians 6 tells how we should relate with one another when we're in step with the Spirit. And the passage from Galatians falls into 3 sections. And the first part is loving other Christians who are struggling. Because we had in verse 1, if someone is caught in sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. Watch, or you may also be tempted. You know something? Like sinking sand, it's easy to get sucked into losing our focus on God. Grumbling, moaning, gossiping, being judgmental, harsh words, lack of joy, easy upset due to the absence of grace. And sometimes this is encouraged by drifting away from fellowship, neglecting prayer and the Bible, and mixing in the wrong company. And a key word from that verse is gentleness. You know, it has to be built on the solid word of God, and the approach has to be one of pure love, patience, non-judgmental, and complete confidence. Verse 2 we have, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If you remember in Matthew 23, Jesus has some rather harsh words about the religious leaders of the day. They tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Yesterday, my daughter and son-in-law took part in a Para 10 running challenge at the Garrison. And Emma was running in running clothes and bits and pieces. And Matthew was running in his army boot and military boots and 35 pounds on the back. And although normally he's a quicker runner than Emma, surprise, surprise, he came in quite a bit later, you know. But it's because he had the extra load on his back. And, and often that is caused in spiritual circles by religiosity. You know, it's just trying to put those things on. Sometimes it'll be caused by a lack of self-worth. But we have to realise that our acceptance comes from faith and that our slates can be washed clean. Part two of the reading is about us, about our motives, our attitudes. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions without comparing himself to somebody else. If you remember, a key point of Helen's talk last week was humility, especially before God. And secondly, the narrow path we need to walk, avoiding pitfalls of legalism, license, and pride. I don't know about you, but pride is like a disease that creeps up on you. You know, for me, I can be quite easily start to think, oh, I'm a better surveyor than I really am. And if you do that, if you're not careful, you get overconfident. You get slack. You lose your momentary concentration for a few moments. And then faults develop and you make mistakes. And that's painful in more ways than one. And it's very, very humbling. But sometimes we have to be brought down. Each one should carry his own load. Now that seems to sort of contradict what we just had earlier about carrying each other's burdens. Now the reality is that we all have day-to-day challenges, don't we? For some of us, it's getting up in the morning. You know, it's just what it is. Others can be your children messing you up, waking you too early in the morning or wanting to do things you don't want them to do. But the thing is, in those day-to-day challenges, we have a big helper, and that is God. And that is sharing those burdens with God and letting him carry them for you. Yeah, there will be times when we do need the extra help from God and from other Christians around us to pray for us and to be that cushion that we need to carry. But a lot of things in life, we just need to trust God that he is there for us and to help us. Part three is sowing good seed. It's giving back some things that we've had. And it says, anyone who receives instructions in the word must share all good things. God cannot be mocked. The one who sows to please his sinful nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good. As we have opportunity, do good to all people, especially to the family of believers. Now, a key question is, how much do we value our faith and relationship with God? How much do we value our faith and relationship with God? A couple of weeks ago at the baptism, you may remember Ian saying that the best decision of his life, even ahead of marrying Jane, was to become a believer and a follower of Jesus. The more we value what we have, the more we have to share. So what are the things we do about sowing good seed? Well, one of them is being realistic in our financial and practical contributions to ministry here and elsewhere. It's about our time of prayer. It's about sharing our story, about giving our testimony and telling our friends about what we have and why it's so important to us. It's about asking for more of the Holy Spirit so that love, joy, peace, and joy in our lives can just flow out with patience, kindness, and goodness to those we know and meet 365 days of the year. And don't count the cost. I think if we start counting the cost, our motives are going wrong. We don't need to count the cost at all. It's joy. Perhaps I should have been ahead of myself and I would have had a third reading. And it would have been from Acts 2, verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Each day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. There are several key words in that, isn't there? It's teaching, fellowship, unity, prayer, praise, and giving. Teaching, fellowship, unity, prayer, praise, and giving. Now, as we prepare ourselves for next year's mission, what can we learn? In my opinion, Esther, a lady from that Methodist church, she was thinking creatively. She was looking outward. She didn't count the cost, hasn't counted the cost. And she had a simple aim of establishing the importance of her church community in spreading the love and word of God. And Elijah, what's he doing? He's showing that God's healing love is for everybody, even those who have hurt us or of a different race and culture. It's for God's glory, not our own. In preparing this talk, two things just kept recurring to me. Firstly, is lifting burdens. You know, we're all God's children, and I'm sure he wants all of us to reach our potential. So if you feel that there are things that are possibly holding you back, my advice is seek out a trusted Christian friend to talk to see if they confirm it or discern what the problem really is. And seek help in loosing those shackles. There might be hurts, rejection, failure to forgive, insecurity, anger, grief, and it goes on. You know, we just, sometimes people like to hold on to things, It's part of their identity. It's part of that victim culture of wanting to hold on to those hurts, those angers, makes you part of you. But that's not really the whole point, is it? And so it really runs into the second one of just letting go. Letting go. It's that losing control. And one of the things that we're often quite good at is want to control our time. Oh, I can't go to the prayer meeting at Pat's on Monday night. I'm too busy. It's the time I walk the dog or I watch Brookside or whatever else it is. We like our routines. I can't do this because of this. Well, if you want to do something, you'll find the time to do it. Well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter it takes up your time, like for Esther having phone calls at 2 a.m. If you want to do it and have God's love it, you'll do it. You know, it's like a child. Have you ever taken young children to a swimming pool and they haven't got their confidence? What do? Grab you, don't they? Grab hold of you. They don't want to let go. They feel secure. They want security. And often one of the things we also tend to hold on to often is our stuff. You know, what's our security based on? It's our possessions, it's our money. And, you know, we just, you know, I mean, part of the good work we do here is, like, just heard, like supporting Chitra. And as mentioned earlier about the Flame People. Well, the Flame People is only ourselves and one other church that provide the financial support for that translation of the Bible into that country's, that, those people's language. I mean, I've been on the PCC a long time. And I can tell you that generally, our spiritual health is better here when our giving has been great, been better. And unfortunately, at the moment, our income coming in from giving is less than our outgoings. And maybe in a year or so's time, we have a difficult decision to say, I'm sorry, we can't help or support Chitra and Nepal anymore. We can't support Wycliffe and the Flame People. Really? I mean, it's... what's the impact? It's going to be huge, isn't it? It's not just us, it's about other people. And, you know, get a bit un-PC here, really, but, you know, we need to keep this place running, to do what we want to do. Forget that side over there. We need £800 a week. That's what it costs us to keep the place running. And just do some sums. Just do some sums. That's all I'd say. Wouldn't it be lovely to have more money than we actually need? We could then, if we think youth are important for this country and for this church, we could look about having a part-time youth worker, couldn't we? Is it important? Of course it's important. How do we get it? You know how to get it. We need to think how we to get it. We think out of the box. And it'd be nice also, I mean, to have a bit of money to put aside so when we have to do this part of the roof, we've got a bit in the kitty to start with. And it's also about legacies as well. I mean, we haven't done that well out of legacies here. I think the last good legacy we had was probably the late 60s. And do you know something? Some of that money was spent in fitting out and finishing the hall. And that money is still being a blessing now to us and the community 45 years later. Now, I'm sure that lady would have had no idea that it'd be a blessing 45 years after she's died. Think about it. But really, I think the thing is, we need to just be, it's about this expression, isn't there? Less is more. It's less about us and more about God being in control. And the more that God is in control and His Holy Spirit is leading us, the more good that will be done in this place and in the world. And I just pray that, you know, it's when a child learns to let go of the side of the pool, it has joy and freedom in the water. And we need that joy and freedom of being in the Spirit. It's learning to take the hands off the side and let go. Amen.